19:14. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures tonight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Okay, so we need our faith encouraged, also our hearts encouraged. And Psalm 19:14 says this. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my... Look at the word, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David is kind of concerned about what's going on inside, and he says, Lord, I pray that what I'm thinking about, what I'm feeling, is acceptable to you. Sometimes you feel like this. You feel like you're in a tumble dryer. You feel like everything just swirls around inside your head, and nobody can help you. Nobody can. You can't make sense of it. You can't organize it. You can't, figure out what to do with the stuff going on inside your head. And I want to help you get a grip on the things. And it's not because you just have willpower, but because you have word power. I'll show you that in just a few minutes. All right, as I said, Psalm 19:14, there's a lot going on. Hey, by the way, why didn't I think of that? Brother Dean, would you and Youngin? Yes. Throw that away. Throw that out. Don't throw it away. If you need a biro, let's see. Andrew, would you throw those into people's laps as they need a biro? If you want to take notes, sometimes it'll help you. Sometimes it'll distract you. Whatever it could do to help you, I would love to make a blessing for you. So, there's plenty there if everybody wants one. If everyone wants one. You don't have to take it. You can just watch up here. All the answers will be up here. If you need a biro, raise your hand. All right, we need a couple up here. Andrew, when you get back up here. Thank you, Brother Dan. Uchel, would you like a pen, a biro? Well, I'd like them back. You can take them if you need them, but we use them in RU and stuff like this. Okay, now your first fill-in. Your first fill-in is there's a lot going on inside your head. We have plans. We have worries. We have needs. We have desires. We have memories. We have imaginations going on that just come out of nowhere. Now, I don't know. I've done a lot of reading about the mind, and nobody understands the mind. Don't believe these guys on television trying to tell you, oh, we're getting close to understanding the brain. They are not anywhere near. I've heard people say, we now have computers that are approaching the mental capability of the human mind. Don't believe one word of it. They have no idea what they're doing. Our brains are a hive of mental activity, and we're not even aware of it. Stuff going on. Aren't you glad you don't have to remember to breathe? Don't you remember? I should tell a blonde joke, but I'll get in trouble. Anyway, no. Aren't you glad you don't have to remember to tell your heart to beat? There's some things your brain is just doing without you even thinking about it. But our modern world, as much stuff as we have going on inside of our head, our modern world through the television, through the internet, through just the business of life, it's throwing stuff at us just left, right, and center. It makes us so we don't know how to organize it. We don't know how to make sense of stuff. We don't know how to use the stuff that we accumulate inside of our head. Now, ours is a messed up generation. I mean, it's messed up. This generation doesn't know itself. The people you meet don't know what they believe. I mean, it used to be 20 years ago when I came, I dealt with Irish Roman Catholics. That's who I dealt with. I mean, honestly, they had some things that they believed. What do you think of Our Lady? They had some beliefs. And so you could talk to them. You could go head to head with them. But this generation doesn't know what it believes. They don't know how to think things through. They don't know how to come to right decisions. They don't even know how to keep commitments. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a young lady getting married to a modern male. Because you can't tell if that modern male is drugged up, sane, or coherent, or anything. When he says, I do, you don't know what he's doing. Is he getting married, or is this just a fling? What is going on inside people's heads? I'd be terrified if I were a young lady and some guy she thinks she's in love with. You have no idea what's going inside his head. You better have your preacher examine him. You better have your dad cross-examine him. So folks, we have a messed up generation. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't you love to be able to talk like we're going to read here? Psalm 57. Let's go to Psalm 57 and verse 7. Psalm 57 and verse 7. I'm going to read it. Like maybe we ought to read it. Listen to it. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Listen to him. He's kind of excited, isn't he? Woo! My heart is fixed. Psalm 108, verse 1. 108, verse 1. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Wow. Something happened that he says, I just can't stop singing about it. One more. Psalm 112 and verse 7. He is the man that feareth the Lord. Psalm 112. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now, listen, wouldn't you like to be able to say those words with joy? Ooh, my heart is fixed. Now, when he says fixed, what he means is it's anchored. It's safe. It's stable. It's under control. It's not out of control. He says, finally, my heart is at rest. Oh, I just want to praise God. Isn't that a good way to talk? Isn't that something that's needed today? Now, God gave us a secret weapon. It's called Scripture memorization and meditation. It can and will repair messed up thinking. Let's start here, and we want to look at the fountain of God's Word. You got a little diagram there. You already see the thing there. But Psalm 119 in verse 48. Psalm 119 in verse 48. You know, some people like to lift hands. I like to lift my hands. I like praising God. Now, some people like to just sway like they're barley in the field. But that's not what happens here. Look at what David says. Psalm 119, verse 48. Listen to David. He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy name. Is that what it says? Unto thy glory? No. Look what David is lifting his hands to, what he is in awe of and actually worshiping. What is he worshiping? Thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, I just want you to see that this is this thing. David writes and he says, this book is what I need. I lift my hands up to it and says, it's the greatest book ever written. And there is so much in there, but there's a problem. This book of books is no good unless you read it. But God didn't just expect you to read it. God gave you a tool called, you ever seen a pickaxe? Called meditation, which when applied to the Word of God, it releases absolute amazing blessings. Let's look at some of them. Psalm 119, 97. Psalm 100. I'm going to ask you to read now tonight, if I can. Let's start right here on the left. Youngin, if you would read Psalm 119, verse 97 and 98. Psalm 119, 97 and 98, Youngin. So through God's commandments, you can get wiser than your enemies. God gives you wisdom. You tap into the Word of God like with that pickaxe. And out comes wisdom. Let's look at another one. Still in the same place, verse 99 and 100. Uzzel, do you want to read that? You want to try? Give it a try. 99 and 100. Wonderful. Meditation there in verses 99, all the whole thing there gives you understanding. There are a lot of things I don't understand. But a lot of things I'll only understand from the viewpoint of God. You ever had somebody die unexpectedly? You ever have somebody who's had a disaster in their life? There's no human understanding that could help them. But there's a book that when you meditate on, it will give you understanding more than all the ancients. Look at another one, verse 165, Marianne. All right. You know, there's a peace that comes as you come into the Bible and you read it, but not just read it, but you take it and you meditate on it. Psalm 63 and verse 5, Lily. Psalm 63, 5. Am I going too fast? No, sorry. That was a test. We're on the fourth one, on joy. Psalm 63, 5. All right. I think I missed one verse there, Psalm 63. I got to get back there. But my Psalm, 63. Yes. Oh, and then verse 6. It should have 5 and 6. All right. When will I be satisfied? When will I have joyous lips, according to verse 6? And what are you doing when you're getting ready to go to sleep? Yes. When you take time to meditate, God will give you joy. Look at another one, prosperity. Psalm 1, real prosperity. And Nick, Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. All through the book of Psalms here. Verse 2 and 3. Wow. Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God prospers what he's doing. I don't mean he makes them rich. I'd much rather have health. I'd much rather have my kids. I'd much rather have my wife. Look at Proverbs now, 16:22. All of these things are up here. Let's look in Proverbs 16:22. Reu. All right, verse 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Now, when we're talking about understanding, we're getting understanding from the Bible as we meditate on it. But the instruction, when you try to instruct fools, to them it's folly. But to us, it is life. It's like a wellspring. It's like you're in a desert and you're digging for water and the water just comes out and you go, I found life. Joshua 1:8 there, Sarah. Joshua 1:8. Good success. Excellent. Because we meditate in God's Word. Romans 10:17. Tinez. Romans 10:17. What comes out of God's Word? These are just a few things. Romans 10:17. Good. You say, my faith is weak. Then you need to get in the book. So I'm just not believing God. That's what the Bible's for. It is a wellspring of faith. That's where you get your faith from. One more. Back to Psalm 119, verse 23, Bill. I apologize. Yes. We're on the last one, which is rest. It's Psalm 119, 23. Listen to what the author of Psalm 119 says about being in trouble when people in authority were speaking against him and seeking his life. Go ahead there, Bill. Okay, so Bill, if you knew somebody was scheming to destroy you, scheming to bring you down, scheming to ruin your life, what would you be doing in your head? You're going, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to stand against them? How am I going to react? But the writer here says, but I sat and I meditated on thy precepts. So when you have what we're going to talk about tonight, it will put your heart at rest so that when other people are scheming your destruction, you go, I'm going to be all right. And that's what a Christian has, a secret weapon. Now, you only tap into that through this thing called Scripture meditation. Now, watch the four things. There are four things I want to talk about tonight that you've got to be doing all together. You can't just meditate on the Bible, all right? What do you think the first one is? What is the first thing you need to do before you can get to the place where you're meditating on Scripture? What's the first thing you need to do? What do you think? Read it. Good. Reading gives basic knowledge of God. I tell everybody, start in Matthew chapter 1. Read along. You can start anywhere you want. I don't care. But I say start in Matthew. First of all, you'll be familiar already with it because you'll know some of the stories. Secondly, it will get you familiar. You won't understand everything you're reading, but it gives you basic landmarks, basic people, names, places. Reading your Bible gives you all the basic knowledge of God. But that's where you got to start. But you don't just stop. You say, oh, I read my Bible. Okay, second thing. What do you think it is? Okay, and that, Molly, means study. Any child can go to school and can listen and read the textbook, but if they're not studying, they're not going to learn. Studying is how you learn the absolute truths of the Bible. You have to learn what you're reading. You read it, and then you study. You say, how can that be? How could God create everything out of nothing? How could He do it? Why did He do it in 6 days? Why did God create the Sabbath day? Those are great questions. You can study and find the answer. Studying learns the absolute truths. I believe that God did not use evolution. He did not use a Big Bang. He did not use billions of years to create the world. He did it all like that. He created the heaven and earth with one word. He created light flooding this entire universe with one word. He created a planet full of life in one day with one set of words. I believe that. I've studied it. Nobody could convince me that the Bible doesn't really... No, the Bible means it. What do you think the third one is? Bingo! Did you know you read the Bible and you study it, but a lot of Christians are dead in the water. They are as worthless as they come because they don't do it. They don't obey it. Because when you obey God's Word, that's when God blesses you. That's when He keeps you out of trouble and He keeps you in His will. Obeying God's Word. So what's a very important part of your Bible reading? Study and obeying. What a wasted time you've done if you read it. I mean, if the Bible talks about something, and then you go, ah, la, la, and close the Bible, and don't take serious, what does James say you're like? A man who sees himself in the mirror, And just goes on. It doesn't see what kind of condition he's in. Now the last one. Meditating. Because meditating is what changes your life. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, to the right. Proverbs chapter 4. And Martin, would you read verse 4? Proverbs 4 and verse 4. Wow. All right. So here you got where God was teaching Solomon, and God said, let thy heart, what's the next word? Retain. How many of you ladies have ever talked to your husband and you knew it was going in one ear and out the other? All right. So you're reading the word, you're studying it, you're trying to obey it. Then you need to hold on to it. And that's what meditation does. Meditation says, I'm going to keep this. This is a keeper. Because you do this, and you live. All right. I put six things together. They all start with D. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe it'll just confuse you. I don't know. But I did my best. Are you ready? What does it take to meditate? The six D's to remember. The first one is design. You need to design scripture meditation into your life. What does that mean? Make time for meditation. Look at Genesis 24. Marcus, if you'll read Genesis 24 in verse 63. Watch Isaac in his busy schedule, and he's busy. He's watching over all of his dad's cattle and flocks, and he's in charge of... Abraham had 318 servants. Think if you had 318 employees of your home. What if your dad and mom had 318 people working for them? And then dad said, Marcus, you take care of them. That's a lot of responsibility. If you got 318 servants, how much stuff were they in charge of? Thousands of cattle. I have no idea. So Isaac's busy, but then what does he do in the evening? Read there in Genesis 24:63. And by the way, who was on one of those camels? Rebecca. But what was he doing in the eventide? In the evening? What was he doing? He was meditating. He made time for it. He said, you know what, I've been busy all day. It's time to quiet down, cool down, put my thoughts right. So you need to design time into your schedule. You need to make a habit of it. Listen to Psalm 1:2. We read it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. How do you get to the place where you're doing something all the time? You make it a habit. You know, you say to a child, what do you do with a child that's putting their hand into their mouth, their thumb in their mouth? No, 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 no. Because once they do that and they get used to doing it, it gets harder to break them of that habit, right? So, but every one of you shouldn't be putting your thumb in your mouth. You should be putting meditation into your life so that it becomes something you do daytime, nighttime, all the time. You design it into your life. Secondly, discover. Discover. This is the discovery part. Now, this is the fun part, okay? You discover something for you to think about by reading the Bible, or just even, you can be washing the dishes, you can be driving a car, and you remember something. Now, choose carefully what you remember. Let's go to Psalm 104, verse 34. And, Minnesota, do you want to read? Or? Okay, Georgina, if you will read Psalm 104, verse 34. Give us a second to get there. Psalm 104, verse 34. Listen to these words. So what is David meditating on in that verse? What is he meditating on? He's meditating on Him. Choose what you meditate on. You know, my meditation of Him ought to be sweet. It ought to be pleasant. It ought to be amazing, awesome. Psalm 72, verse 12. Dina, please. Psalm 77, 12. Thank you. Right? Again, David saying, I'm going to think about whose work? God's work and His doings. What do we normally notice, Dina? When we see things going on in our life, who are we usually aware of who's active? Kind of a trick question. I'm not sure if I'm asking you correctly. I'll answer. We usually see the devil at work, don't we? We usually are very aware, boy, that was a mean thing the devil did. Wow, look at what the devil did there. But shouldn't our meditation be on God's work? I mean, you hold in your hand the book of God. That is God's work, giving you a Bible. You don't have to go and pick a scroll up and read Hebrew, do you? Amen? Discover. Now, what I'm going to get to is you need to start to carefully choose some things for you to meditate on. Psalm 143 and verse 5, Mona. 143:5. Okay. I muse. What does muse mean? Yeah, but to think a lot about. That's why when you sit down in front of a television, what are they doing? They're giving you amusement, which means you don't have to think. We've done all the thinking for you. And it's amusement, which means no thinking needed. That's why a lot of churches are only amusement parlors. So, I muse on, that's why I love astronomy. Because when I see the stars, when I see galaxies, I have them as screensavers. I have galaxies and nebulas and supernovas and all kinds of things. I think about God. It just blows. It gets me thinking about, when I consider the work of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's why I love astronomy. Philippians 4:8. Who else wants to? Kevin, can you do that for me? Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. So God went ahead and said, hey, I gave you some ideas of what to think about. Isn't that a good list? I think that'll keep you busy for a month of Sundays. All right, so you discover things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just and pure and lovely, so on and so forth. Now, discover, as you read, truths that mean something to you. Can I give you an example? I think if you don't have anything good to think about, you ought to think about your salvation. I think you need to think about God reaching down in His mercy and saving a wretch like you. I'll give you an example. Look at Psalm 86 and verse 13, Weston. Psalm 86 and verse 13. I bet a lot of you didn't know this verse was in there. Psalm 86, verse 13. This is a good one. Give it just a second there, Weston. Nope, it's not. Psalm 86, 13. Are you with me, everybody? All right, go ahead, Weston, please. You see, we know some people who deserve the lowest hell, but David said, you saved me from the lowest hell. You know, sometimes you need to sit back, close the door, and just start laughing your head off going, I'm saved! Woo! This wretch is washed! Amen! Just meditating on something that reminds you, I'm saved. Hebrews 7:25, Alberto. Hebrews 7:25. lot of people don't realize they're all the way saved. I mean, they are saved to the... All right. I mean, say somebody says, well, I'm not all saved yet. I'm working on it. Then you're not saved at all. Look at what he is able to do. Hebrews 7:25. Give us one more second there. All right. Wow. All you have to do is come to God by Jesus Christ and He's able to save you to the uttermost. That means through and through. Top to bottom, stem to stern, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. I'm going to give you an example. All right? You need to meditate on your salvation. You ought to meditate on your freedom in Christ. I'll just give you 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You ought to memorize that scripture and you ought to meditate on it. I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment. You ought to memorize and meditate on Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, what I want you to do in this discover mode right now, okay, I want you to think about your life verse. I want you to think about a verse that you want to, just as an example, I want you to think about how to meditate on. So think about a life verse. My verse, by the way, is Philippians 1:6. What's yours? See, I don't have one. You need one. If you want to stay sane over the next few years, you need a life verse that comes up like a shield when you need it. Let me see. Who's got a life verse? Let me see your hands. Dan, what is your life verse? Oh, man, yeah. Why did I even have to ask? I forget. Go ahead and quote it. Amen, amen. Who else got a life verse? Ediberto. All right, notice, this is not just a verse he knows about. It's not just a verse he's read. It's not just a verse he's studied, but he has memorized it, and he's able to meditate on it. Now, I don't know. You may have that life verse, but it may have been a long time since you've meditated on it again. I've been challenged to get back into meditating on what I know. It's all in there, but it's not out here. It's not coming out. I'm not living it. The life sometimes needs a good kickstart, and that's where meditation comes in, scriptural meditation. So, you need a verse. So, Brother Dan, I need you and Youngin. I got one of these guys. Get everybody two. Two. I know that's kind of hard. This is math class. Two. Give everybody two. Everybody. Everybody. Now, you can go to the shop and get you... You can get you a pack. Exacompta. I don't know. These probably cost you €2. These are smaller cards. Maybe you need bigger cards. They have 4x6. But everybody get two. I know you say, I don't want one. Take it anyway. Humor me. Take two. Right now, while you're getting that, I want you to be thinking, you're going to be writing down a scripture. You're going to be writing down one. I want you to think. You say, oh, I don't have one. John 3:16 then. I don't care what it is. Mark 7:32. Jesus wept. I don't care what it is. Get you a verse that you are going to write down. Right now, think about it. What would be my verse? What would be a verse that I want to meditate on this week? All right? Discover. Now, you're usually going to be reading your Bible and something should jump out at you. Maybe it's this one, Psalm 4:8. You could put that up there. Psalm 4:8 says this, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. That's a good verse to meditate on. Listen to it again, Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down and in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. That is a verse to memorize, wouldn't you think? And even more importantly, it is a verse to meditate on. How about Psalm 37:4? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How about Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You discover something that means something to you, and you say, I want to meditate on that. Good. Excellent. Then I want you to go to the third point, details. Details. Now what that means is, you write that scripture down. And you memorize that scripture word for word. You say, how do you do that? Just read it. You say, how do you read it? Just read it and then put it away. Every day, throughout the day, pick it up and just read it. You don't have to force yourself to memorize like you did when you were in school. But if you just read it, there are big programs that you can do to memorize it faster. But read it every day, 2-3 times a day. I don't care. Take it with you. You're going to be carrying this with you all day long. But write it down. Include the reference. So here's your 3x5 card. I chose Philippians 1:6. So I wrote it out, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I put the details in there. Then I actually went a little bit further and I said, you know, that verse tells me something. What does it tell me? Jesus is at work in my life. I know he's at work in the universe. I know he's at work in all parts of the world, but he's involved in my life. So I put that up at the top. That encourages me. But the details don't stop there. The next point is digest. All right? Digest. That's where you begin to process what God is saying in the verse. This is what cows do. They eat green grass. And they produce white milk and it turns into yellow butter. How does that all happen? Because they have 4 stomachs. Is that right? And so they got to move the food from one stomach to the next one. The way they do that, they bring it back up to the mouth, they chew on it some more, and then they swallow it down a different pipe. I don't want to think about it. But you need to bring up what you know, meditate on it, and then put it back away. And to bring it up and think about it some more. That's digesting. What you do at this point is, wait a minute, you flip it over. Don't use the light here. You flip it over onto the back side. All right, how many of you have a verse? I don't care if you can write it out or all, but do your, John, what'd you say, 12:42? Is that what you've got, Dan? 12:24. What is your light verse? 1, not 40. All right, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Is that on your card? What is your life verse, Lily? As it does with all of us, yes. That is a keeper. Now, have you got that on your card? Just write it down. All right, just write down Psalm 61 to verse 2. All right, so you put that up there. Go back here. Psalm 61:2, right? Okay. And then you write it out. But you're not finished yet. That has not done the work for you. You need to delight in it, which means this. You flip over the card. Don't wait for it to flip. And you write out key things that you understand from the verse. You don't have to understand everything. But you know what I get out of my verse? Being confident. I like that word. You know, I grew up not confident. I grew up not knowing what I could do, what I could be. I knew what I wished I could do. But I had no confidence. I could tell you all kinds of funny stories and stuff. This skinny kid whose ears stuck out further than his shoulders was just totally unconfident. But you know, when I got saved, I got confident. Because this verse stuck with me. And so I said, I'm confident at least of one thing. At least I'm confident of one thing. What is it? That God's doing a good work in me. I wrote that down on the back. God's doing a good work in me. The devil means for evil. God takes it and means it for good. God's doing a good work in me. And I just wrote one other thing, and that is, he's going to perform it because he promised. hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I just wrote those three things. That's me delighting in what I know and what I have read and what I've studied. But now I'm meditating on. Now I see the detail. Let me hear your verse again. Psalm 61, verse 2. Read it. Go ahead. Because I want you to tell me what are the parts of the verse that just got your attention. Two or three things. Because this is a good one. Yes. Isn't that cool? And you know, from Israel, we kind of are the end of the earth, aren't we? I mean, before you hit the Atlantic Ocean. So that's you right there, isn't it? Yes. I can indeed. All right. Yep. That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Wow. Amen. So think about what you would miss if you just read a verse like that, but you didn't stop and then see the details and meditate on each part and delight in it. This is where your meditation will, you'll memorize, but those are the things you'll think about. And you will remember from that. And you'll enjoy it. And then one more D. Are you ready? Do it again. Do another verse. You've got one verse? Good. Add another one next week. Add another one the next week. You see, meditation, I will meditate in thy word. I don't want to just have one verse. I want to have as many as God will give me. That is a life of meditation. All right. Here we go. Without looking at your list, what's the first D? Design. Without looking at your list, what's the second D? Discover. You say, I don't have a memory verse, a life verse. I hope this week, I hope as you read your Bible, you say, Lord, give me one. And you may change it a few weeks later. But listen to me. You need to discover something that just says to you, I love you. I am taking you with me. I'm walking, and I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'm walking with you. You need something like that. Third one, without looking at your list. Design, discover, not delight. Get the details. You see, you will not meditate on what you have not written out, and that you haven't paid attention to every word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Write out every word. Put down the details. Then digest. Think about it. I actually tell you, if you haven't done it, you look at your verse, you go, this is a lot of words. Simplify it. On the other side, write it in your own words. I'll tell you, listen to this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I could put that in my own words, where it says, I'm confident that God is going to finish His work He started in me. That's how I'd write it. That's me thinking about it, digesting it, putting it out in my own words, and then noticing the big points. Now, I can't improve on God's words, but I'm trying to understand them when I'm putting them in my own words. That's you dealing with the details. What's the next one? Now is delight. Now all of a sudden you'll go, man, out of the from the ends of the earth, I cry. You go, well, I'm not so weird then. Because David cried out and got devastated. Amen. Delight. What's the last one? Do it again. Did you notice Christianity is lifelong? You ever read your Bible all the way through? I'm embarrassed to ask how many of you have ever read your Bible all the way through. What do you do when you finish reading your Bible all the way through? Do it again. Amen. Amen. You know what will happen when you do that? Your mind will change. It will fix your mind. Your heart will calm down. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. And your life will get back to growing again. Do you know, when you develop a lifestyle of Scripture meditation, you'll find that what you have learned and memorized and meditated on will be used. God will say, hey, look, He's got something for me to work with inside His or her heart. And it will be a help not only to you, but to somebody else. God can't use you in areas that you're not developed in. But what you develop is you meditate and you put the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Hid is a term that if you've got this dough, you take a bit of leaven, yeast, and you hide it. It means it disappears, but it's not gone. It's put in there, and then it saturates. So you take the Word of God, you file it away, and then you find it filling up every part of your life. When you do that, God says, I can use you now. And not only will it help you with all these things, but it'll help others. And you're profiting. You're benefiting from it. Will be seen by all. 1 Timothy 4:15, and we are through. Tess, you got the last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. No. 1 Timothy 4:15. Wow. So the thought life of a young man. Timothy was a young man, was he not, Tess? He was not an old guy like me and Brother Dennis. He's a young man. And young men, and old men, by the way, don't worry about it. We're all human. But young men have got lots of things going on inside their head. And Paul tells Timothy, give thyself, addict yourself to meditating wholly upon these things. Become obsessed with thinking about what's pure and what's honest and what's true and what's lovely and what's a good report. That by profiting, that God fixing you, will be seen by all. Okay? You want your thought life fixed? You want your heart put at rest? You want to be able to sing and go, my heart is fixed. I'm stable for the first time in weeks. I'm relaxed. I'm safe. Meditate. All right. So, if you don't have a memory verse, I give you two cards. One to use tonight and one throughout the rest of the week. Go and if you want to borrow. If you want to take some more, I got piles of them here. Take it 3, 4, 5. And then I know you got all kinds of work at school. I know you got all kinds of business at work. But that can help your life. That can settle your heart. That'll help you. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Are there any questions? I hate not giving you that opportunity. Any final questions or things I may have? I know we went fast. I just wanted to give the material. All right, let's stand.